Tonight's meeting of the House Health and Social Services Committee will now come to order. It is 3:24 p.m., Tuesday, April 14, 2026, in Davis 106. Members present are Representatives Schwanke, Ruffridge, Mears, Prox, Gray, and myself, Representative Mina Chair. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum to conduct business. Please take this time to silence your cell phones for the duration of the meeting. Staffing the committee today, we have Andrew Magnuson as our Health and Social Services Recording Secretary, Kyla Tupo, our LAO moderator, and Katie Giorgio, my committee aide. If you need anything during the meeting, please don't hesitate to get her attention. First on the agenda today, we are returning to House Bill 376 by the House Education Committee on Expanding Early Intervention Services for Children. And we also have available for questions Susan Kessler, Senior and Disability Services Early Intervention Infant Learning Program Unit Manager, Pamela Burton, SDS Chief of Developmental Programs and Training, Nicole Wary-Tagaman, SDS Administrative Operations Manager, Richard Saville, Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education, and Amy Simpson, Program for Infants and Children Executive Director. Do we have any questions or comments from the committee? Going once, going twice. Seeing none, I would now entertain a motion to move the bill from committee.
Chair Mina, I move committee substitute for House Bill 376, Work Order 34-LS1545/N from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Is there any objection? Seeing none, House Bill 376 passes from committee and we'll take a brief at ease to sign the committee report. Next today, we are returning to House Bill 344 by Representative Coulombe on the establishment of an opioid settlement fund. We will start by hearing public testimony. Public testimony is now open. Is there anyone in the room who wishes to testify? Seeing none, is there anyone online who wishes to testify? Seeing no more individuals wishing to testify, I'm going to go ahead and close public testimony. On this bill, we have available for questions Lindsay Cato, Director of the Division of Public Health, Deputy Attorney General Corey Mills with the Department of Law, and Margaret Patton Walsh, Attorney at the Department of Law. Do we have any questions or concerns? And we also have in the room Legislative Auditor.
I have a question.
Chris Curtis. Representative Gray.
Thank you. Through the chair, to the sponsor or to someone online, can you just remind me what the fund can be used for and what it can't be used for?
Representative Coulombe.
For the record, I'm Julie Coulombe, House District 11, through the chair to Rep. Gray. I probably want the Department of Health might be able to expand on this, but the purpose or the intent of the bill is that for present funds and any future funds would be in the subfund. But if you want to hear maybe more detail from the Department of Health, they might know.
Director Cato, could you explain how the opioid settlement funds can be used?
This is Lindsay Cato, Director for the Division of Public Health. Through the chair, Representative Gray, there is a full list of approved uses, and I will point to Exhibit E of the final opioid settlement agreement, which you can find online. It does include core strategies like treatment and recovery services, prevention programs, support for affected families, data collection and monitoring, everything from medication for opioid use disorder, treatment, community outreach, prevention, really anything related to the spectrum of opioid remediation. What it can't be used for is supplanting existing dollars. And so I think that's where we also have an opioid settlement steering committee, which is also required by the opioid settlement final agreement. That settlement steering committee provides recommendations to the Department of Health on the funding and types of opportunities and activities that should be funded.
Follow up.
Through
the chair to Director Cato, I'm wondering if you could give a few specific examples of how the opioid settlement fund can be used to support affected families.
Director Cotto?
Yeah. Through the chair, for the record, Lindsay Cotto, through the chair, Representative Gray. For affected families, it would be potentially like resources to assist families impacted by the opioid crisis, including counseling and support services. There are other programs. There's one that comes to mind. I don't have the name of it right in front of me, that assists children who have been impacted by opioid overdose loss and helping them get support and support services.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the committee? Representative Prax?
Yes, through the chair, I guess to whomever could answer the question. Subsection D clarifies that the bill does not create a dedicated fund. I guess the first question is, it would seem to me that the settlement funds are, in fact, dedicated, and therefore this statute wouldn't be needed.
Through the chair, this is Emily Durfee, staff to Representative Colomb. Representative Prox, the fiscal year 24 legislative audit identified that there were errors in the tracking of these funds that do already have to be used in accordance with the settlement agreements. So by creating this separate fund within the state treasury, we're just creating better tracking of these funds that are already being spent in accordance with the agreements.
Right. And follow up? That sounds like a good idea, but I would think that that should be done without having, it's the confusion over designated and dedicated funds. And I kind of hate to break that wall. For this settlement, it's very much, by the settlement, dedicated funds. And yes, they should be in a separate account and separately accounted for. I'm just concerned about fiddling with this word designated and dedicated. And if it's not a dedicated fund, it implies that it can be used for other things. And the legislature has been tempted to do that in similar situations before.
Through the chair, this is Emily Durfee. There can be monies allocated into this fund that are outside of the settlement monies that we are receiving, and those monies are not subject to being used in accordance with the settlement agreements. So then they would be able to be used and reallocated by the legislature.
Okay. Well, that brings up another concern. Okay. Well, we'll let it go with that. Think about it. Thank you.
I have a question, and this might be for Chris Curtis. Concerning the oversight of the funds, I know that there have been different steering committees and advisory committees on those funds. So could you talk through those different entities, how they exist in statute, and their roles on the funds?
Through the chair, this is Chris Curtis, legislative auditor. I have no idea about the steering committee. I think that would be your director of behavioral health. My purpose for being here is to provide some background on the what we found in auditing the state's financial statements, the problems with recording and depositing this money, and how it's resulting in errors in the draft financial statements. We came across it. So we're recommending our recommendation is based on the accounting and proper financial reporting for this fund, and that but I think policymakers might want to see and be able to track other stakeholders the receipt and use of the monies. And if they're in a separate fund, you can actually see them in the accounting, in the financial statements in a separate column. As far as dedication, and that might be a good question for legal as far as the use of that word. There's a constitutional prohibition against dedicated revenues. And in this instance, there is a legal settlement that places restrictions on the use of those monies, and that would be a reason why you can have a special revenue fund, which is what we call it in accounting lingo, and why you can have a specific fund to receive that money and track that money. And that's how it's organized right now. It's not a subfund of the general fund, this bill.
Thank you. Representative Prax, did you want to ask any of your questions to Department of Law?
I'll have to wait and think about it offline.
Thank you. I'll ask the question, and I'll redirect it over to Director Cotto. So my understanding is AO 324 was the administrative order that established the Governor's Advisory Council on Opioid Remediation. And in my first term, I was appointed to that. I believe Representative Ruffridge was as well. And I believe the role of that was to help oversee the funds. I've never met in that committee, and so I would love for you to talk about what the role is of this current Advisory Council on Opioid Remediation. Are there other entities that also help with oversight? And if they do exist, will they meet?
Thanks. Through the chair, this is, for the record, this is Lindsay Cotto, Division of Public Health Director. Chair Mina, in answer to your question, what you're referring to is the Governor's Advisory Council on Opioid Remediation, which had a number of positions that were appointed by the governor. This board did meet its intended purpose, which was to create a list of initial recommendations for the multiple opioid settlements and no longer meet. One of the recommendations was to create a more nimble working group that administers and provides recommendations directly on the spending of the funds and the activities of the funds within Exhibit E. This group does meet regularly, although the last time they met was to determine the current spending, which was a three-year pilot through the Department of Health that provides the opioid settlement grant program, as well as supporting some statewide activities, including things like enhancements to the prescription drug monitoring program. That group is made up of a smaller number of folks. It is chaired by myself as the Division of Public Health Director and co-chaired by the Division of Behavioral Health Director, and includes representation from the Alaska Native Health Board, equal representation from state agencies as well as local governments, the Alaska Native Health Board, I'm trying to remember, the Mental Health Trust, the Office of Substance Misuse and Addiction Prevention, as well as three local government appointees.
I appreciate that, and also the evolving nature of the Governor's Advisory Council on Opioid Remediation into this working group. Is that working group in regulation or on a web page for the Department of Health website anywhere?
No, it is not at through the chair, Representative Mina. No, it is not. From my understanding, we do include it in our legislative opioid legislative report and include the workings of the settlement. And the group information on the group in our annual legislative report.
Thank you. Are there any other questions from committee? Representative Ruffridge.
Thank you, Chair Mina. This is a question for Ms. Curtis, and thank you again for the work that you do for us and these audits. In your audit, there was a lack of established procedures, I think, was one of the findings. Do you feel like that has been fixed, or this fund will help establish what those procedures should be?
Certainly through the chair, again, Chris Curtis, legislative auditor. What we found was that the monies were being basically deposited into the general fund without any unique accounting structures. It was really difficult for the Division of Finance Accountants to recognize those monies and make sure they were earned and put into the proper accounts and the proper statements. So we did find errors in FY24, and we again found errors in FY25. So we do believe that this fund will assist the department, the stakeholders, and the Division of Finance to make sure these are tracked and reported correctly.
Just a couple follow-ups, if I may. So, I'm not super well-versed in what the different fund codes are and things like that. But so there's a potential, if you have this fund, then that when you go to determine how monies were used, that they would have, I guess it would be a separate code then for those specific dollars within the finance office?
Through the chair, Representative Ruffridge. Yeah, they'll have a special fund code. So when monies are received, they'll be coded uniquely. And when they're expended, they'll be coded uniquely. So it'll be more easily to account and report for those. In addition, the Division of Finance will have specific procedures for this specific type of fund and how they're going to compile the financial statements. So it should make it more accurate and save time on audit adjustments and that type of thing. And I believe it'll be more informative to policymakers and other stakeholders.
And final follow-up. Thank you. So right now, if monies are deposited, they just sort of just get mixed into the pot and truly could sort of be, I guess misspent would be a big accusation, but I mean, the potential is there, or you just really don't know.
Through the chair, I wouldn't say they're misspent. We're finding that the monies were being received by various departments, not just one department. So one department will code it one way, one department will code it another way. There was transfers between departments. I think, the fact that it's a new revenue source. So it's taken a few years to kind of figure out. I do believe OMB did put in legislation a few years ago to actually create a separate fund, and it didn't go anywhere. I think that would have been helpful to get that in a few years ago. But it will be easier for stakeholders to observe, like, how much is received that year and how much is expended that year to track. I know you all have needs in your various communities, making sure those monies are getting out to your communities.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Any further questions from the committee? Representative Schwanke.
Thank you, Co-Chair, or Chair. Can you describe other funds that are in the same boat in the state?
Through the chair, so there are a lot of special revenue funds. They come to mind: Fish and Game Fund, Exxon Valdez Settlement Fund. You put me on the spot. I think there's about 12 special revenue funds right now.
Follow up?
I guess I was thinking specifically pertaining to settlement funds. Okay. Exxon Valdez might be a great example, actually. Mm-hmm. And each one of them has some form of counsel, right, to determine how the funds are to be appropriated on an annual basis. Are there pieces of language that should be in a bill that establishes a special dedicated fund that guide that process?
Mm-hmm. Through the chair, there's always a reason why something can be a special revenue fund, because you can't have dedicated mm-hmm. revenue. So typically that would be in pre-existing, like federal, like Fish and Game Fund is federal rules on that on those monies. So that's why it would qualify for Fish and Game Fund. There are special rules on how those monies are being spent. If you're asking me, is the bill worded correctly to guide the funds? Is that the question I'm being asked?
Yeah. Through the chair, it's more, I guess my question specifically pertains more to, do we need any other language in this particular bill to help determine annual expenditures from it, or where specifically? I mean, we know that there's guidelines for these dollars, which is why mm-hmm. the bill came forward, which is great, and, mm-hmm. and I'm mm-hmm. very supportive mm-hmm. of more oversight as far as the accounting and mm-hmm. whatnot.
Through the chair, again, Chris Curtis, legislative auditor. I'm reluctant to comment on the exact words of the bill as I'm supposed to audit the statute or actually audit the law, so it makes me a little bit my independence. I'd be careful on commenting it. I do believe it's been subject to Ledge Legal and Department of Law, and I think whatever expenditures will always have to comply with the settlement itself, the legal guidance. We don't actually look at that when we're auditing the financial statements. We're basically making sure that the proper accounts and the funds and it's being financially reported correctly, unless we have some specific directive to look at the compliance of it. So I really don't have any comments on whether it's worded correctly and that type of thing.
Okay. That's fine.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Any other questions from the committee? Representative Prox?
Yes, thank you. This might be a question for the legal department. Is the wording within the settlement specific enough to establish control how the money is spent? I guess there was a committee that Rep. Mina served on and Rep. Ruffridge. But it would seem that the settlement itself should be very specific to whatever the effects were from opioid overdoses. And just thinking on the Exxon Valdez fund, that seemed to have a little scope creep. This was way before I was in the legislature, but the public observing things and reading newspapers and what have you. So mm-hmm. is that specific enough that when our expert auditor, who is going to be chained to her desk, by the way, to monitor that it doesn't just go into enough other programs and entities that you really can't figure out whether anything worthwhile was accomplished?
I'll direct that question. We'll start with Deputy Attorney General Mills. Would you be able to answer Representative Prox's question?
Yes. So Corey Mills, Deputy Attorney General, for the record, overseeing the Civil Division here at the Department of Law. Thank you for the question. Through the chair, there's actually, so to be clear, we have about, I think, 17 different settlement agreements at issue here. All of them are very similar. They have similar structures, and they have similar restrictions on the ways in which you can use the funds. The term that is used, I think, throughout all of the settlement agreements is future opioid remediation. And there are examples of that, I think, as Director Cotto was explaining. So to your question, yes, I think the settlement agreements are fairly clear. There is also a settlement administrator that is involved, and there is reporting that has to occur at that level as well. And all 50 states have this, as well as thousands of subdivisions throughout all the states that are also involved in these settlements. So I hope that answers your question, but happy to go into more detail if you need.
Yes, just follow up to use a couple of examples. If this gets spent on alcohol remediation or methamphetamines, is that a violation of the settlement?
Through the chair, Representative Prox, I would need to know exactly, you know, the justification for that spending, how it fits into the term future opioid remediation, which has a specific definition. It is a fairly broad, in terms of opioid remediation, there's preventative all the way through education and treatment. So there are a broad range of items you could use it for. but it is specific to kind of that opioid remediation. So apologies that I can't answer the specific question. I would really want to see exactly what it's for and how it relates to the terms of the settlement, and I don't have that right in front of me at the moment.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions from committee? Seeing none, I would now entertain a motion to move the bill from committee.
Chair Mina, I move House Bill 344, Work Order 34-LS1401/alpha from committee with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal notes.
Is there any objection? Seeing none, House Bill 344 passes from committee. Committee members, please stick around after we adjourn to sign the committee report on House Bill 344. The next meeting of the House Health and Social Services Standing Committee will be Thursday, April 16th at 3:15 p.m. The time is 3:52 p.m. and this hearing of the House Health and Social Services Committee is now adjourned.